How's everyone this morning? That was really awesome worship this morning, wasn't it? Oh, it's really neat when you sense that the Holy Spirit is presenting himself to you in a very personal way. When we were praying this morning with the intercessors, that was one of the prayers of our team, was that this is not just a service where we come and collectively do what we do, but we really want the Holy Spirit to minister very personally to each person. And our needs are so very, very different one from the other. What a powerful thing when he shows up and he does these marvelous things and we go home knowing that we met with him personally. That's a big deal. So let's pray. Father, I want to bless you this morning, Lord. I want to thank you for pouring out your revelation in your body. I thank you, Lord, for the word that you've given me this morning, and I just pray that you do the same with this word as you did during our worship, that we would just personally meet with you, Father. Little pieces, extractions here and there, Lord, however that applies to each one of us in a personal way. Holy Spirit, would you just come and minister, or just release your angels, Lord, to do their bidding this morning. If there need be warring angels, God, release them. If there need be ministering angels, I pray those angels would be on assignment right now for every person in this room. And I thank you, Lord, for the great work you're doing in Jesus' name. Amen. So I've been on a really cool journey, for quite a while, and I kind of do this in ebbs and flows where I'm kind of hunkered down on something and I'm like, oh my gosh, this is so good. It's like eating a big steak and I'm all over it. I shouldn't tell you that. these little flows come, these little ebbs and flows come. And it's just like, I have really come to love and appreciate our ancient paths, the ancient paths that we have all come from, our Hebraic roots. And so I want to take you on a bit of a journey of how I just discovered another thing from our roots, of course, that fits into our New Testament, New Covenant relationship with the Holy Spirit. And this message this morning is called Prophetic Stones of Righteousness. Now, I'll right off the cuff want to tell you that I credit what I have learned from Chuck Pierce. I'm journeying through a book called A Time to Advance. This book is so powerful, and it talks about times, seasons, events, dates. But it also talks about the tribes of Israel and how those tribes gave each one of us a very specific gift through Jacob's prophecy over his sons. Before he passed away. And so I'm going to just start in with that. So studying this book, it is a book about understanding the significance of the Hebrew tribes and the months. And the basis of the book is learning to align ourselves with times and seasons that God instituted for his people. And when we follow them, the blessings of God follows that. Now, God is not undone by us celebrating Christmas or Easter or Thanksgiving, because we are celebrating family. We are celebrating our grateful hearts toward what he has done for us as Christians here in North American Canada, right? But one of the things that we as his people have not had an opportunity to really see the blessings of, and that is the feast that God instituted right from the beginning, back in Genesis. And so, we're talking about the Feast of Passover, the Feast of Pentecost. It was an actual Old Testament feast, and also the Feast of Tabernacles. And as God instituted each of those three particular feasts, something was released from the kingdom of God to his people. He also has something called Rosh Chodesh, which is our full moons. Now, astrologers have taken that and just kind of messed up what God instituted. But the full moon of every month is the beginning of a new calendar month in the Hebraic system. And on that full moon, God has given us very specific things that we're supposed to pray for from the one full moon month to the next full moon month. And I'm just astounded by the things that he has shown in this book, A Time to Advance. And so what I have been doing is just really started to find the month that we're in according to the Hebraic calendar, which is pretty simple because it really shows you kind of, you know, the whole January, February, February, March thing. And the interesting thing is that the months and how they align actually align also with what is now the zodiac signs, but they originated in the Hebrew calendar. Isn't that something? So the Pisces, the Capricorn, I don't know all of them, but you know what I mean? They were instituted by God. And so what I want to do this morning is I want to go back even further than that. God talked about us putting on the full armor of God in the New Testament. You know, we see a story in Ephesians 6:13 through 18. Put on the full armor of God that you may be able to withstand, and on it goes. So I looked back into where that originated from, and the blessings that were on the breastplate of righteousness originated when Jacob called his 12 sons, and he blessed each of his sons, and he spoke a specific blessing over each one of them, so that throughout that generational line back 4,000 years ago to present day, we would inherit the blessings that were on each one of those tribes. But these are the things that we don't really spend a lot of time studying or understanding what they are. So that's not to say that God cannot pour those blessings on us, because we will have prayers that align with what he has done with the 12 tribes. But what I want to do this morning is I want to just open it up and show you how specific each one of those gifts are. And I really feel like the Lord has, while I was preparing this message, I felt like he was showing me that when we take hold of what he has given us, the gifts that were intended for us, we carry them into the next calendar year. And as we become more aware and more wise with revelation of what God is doing based on those 12 tribes of Israel, we can carry that and go boldly before the throne of God with our petitions, our prayers, you know, with whatever it is that we want to unfold as he puts it on our hearts. So that's what I'm endeavoring to do this morning. I probably will rely quite a bit on the notes because of the fact that I want to make sure that I'm actually reading the proper blessing and not just, you know, shooting from the hip. Not a good plan. So as I came upon the chapter, the prophetic stones of righteousness, I realized that these stones actually represent the 12 tribes, and they have a prophetic blessing that's meant for us to inherit and claim for today. The prophetic stones were worn on the priest's ephod, or otherwise known as the breastplate of righteousness. It was actually called the breastplate of righteousness in the Old Testament. They were not permitted to enter the Holy of Holies unless they had the breastplate of righteousness. Not sure why that word always gets me. The breastplate of righteousness. They were not allowed to enter the Holy of Holies unless they had this ephod on their chest. Okay. So just as the priest came boldly into the Holy of Holies to make their petitions before the Lord on behalf of the people, the intention is that we too are adorned with the breastplate of righteousness. The Lord has told us, put on the full armor of God. With these stones, they allow us to come boldly before the throne of God. Jacob called his sons together and spoke these last words over them before his death. They were to be carried throughout time and are now our inheritance. So we can find this in Genesis 49, verses 1 through 28. Now, I'm not going to read all of those verses just for time's sake, but I'm going to highlight very specifically each of the blessings. So verse 1 actually says, Jacob called his sons and said, gather yourselves together that I may tell you that which will happen to you in the days to come. Now that's kind of a loose paraphrase. If you look at the King James Version or you go back to the original Hebrew, it actually says what will come in the last days. The last days, according to Christian prophetic certification, the last days occur from the time that Jesus was crucified, resurrected, and we will remain in the last days until Jesus return. On the day Jesus returns, it will be the last day, and that is the day of judgment. So we are in the last days. So guess what? The blessings that he poured out onto his sons are ours. Anything that is, O Israel, is now our inheritance. So I read through these scriptures and I understood that Jacob was prophesying over his sons, who represented the 12 tribes of Israel, that which would unfold now. Because we are grafted into the vine, this makes us recipients. And it also makes us the bearers of these prophetic words. So Jacob's blessing to his sons. I want to look at each of the 12 prophetic blessings. Now, the thing about the 12 prophetic blessings is that they come with a responsibility. And it is our choice to either take hold of the blessing and the responsibility that goes with it. God has a condition to every promise that he gives us, and the same holds true with the blessings. They come with a requirement of obedience. And it's our choice to either pick up what God is wanting to release into our hearts and lives, or we can just leave it laying down. So Jacob didn't speak a blessing over his sons according to their birthright, but as the Spirit of God led him. So the first three sons were according to birth, but you'll see that there's a shift, and it is according to what God instituted that each one of those sons would represent. So Reuben, his name means behold a son. Reuben, you are my firstborn, my might, the beginning of my strength, the excellency of dignity, the excellency of power. Turbulent or unstable as water, you will no longer excel. Verses 3 and 4. So Reuben had great potential, but he also had instability in his character that could negate the blessings of God unless he intended to deal with the things that cause the instability in his character. So we have to do the same. So when you read the blessing, you see the blessing, you see what is misaligned because of, and it actually is all because of the sins of the sons, when their lives, as they lived their lives out, if there was sin in what they did, then Jacob spoke over them accordingly because he saw that in their actions. So now it's up to us to redeem what God has done. Simeon, his name means to hear. Simeon was an implementer of violence. There's a characteristic in us that likes to implement violence. God chose to graft us in, even though we have that characteristic. But we have to break this pattern and behavior. Violence is actually linked to broken covenants. I didn't know that. I found that was really very fascinating. So when you see, if I look back in my own life where I feel like a covenant has been broken, I feel the violence within me of the pain of what I have endured through that broken covenant. So I can get where Simeon is coming from. But I also know that as I committed myself to the Lord, that violent feeling of what is happening internally subsided as I chose to give it on, to cast it off to the Lord, so that I would not be bearing the curses of the historic 12 tribes. So you do not become violent just because you get mad at someone. We need to remember that the root of violence emanates from that broken covenant. And that's verses 5 through 7. Levi means to join. There is a great redemptive quality in the tribe of Levi. However, Levi joined with Simeon, and he massacred the men of Shechem, who actually raped his sister. You'll remember that story in the Old Testament. So Levi is also one who partners in crime and violence. Through God's redemption, though, the tribe of Levi actually became the Levitical priesthood and was established to minister the things of God to Israel. How about that for redemptive power of God? It's pretty amazing. So as this redemptive character is redeemed, the Levitical priesthood maintains the covenant between God and man. Judah, he whom your brother shall praise, also is to cast a smooth stone against your enemy. And get this, I don't know if you knew this, there's a whole lot of stuff that I learned as I was walking through this, but Judah is actually a descendant of David. And David was the one who, it was the tribe of David. Judah was from the tribe of David, and David was the one who slew Goliath. Isn't that interesting? To cast a smooth stone against your enemy. So it's like we can see how these blessings are actually operating in our lives. So when you activate the Judah portion of your breastplate, God will show you how to throw that one thing against the enemy that will take him down. If we wait and get that one word in the midst of our praise, we will bring our enemy down. That's cool. That's pretty cool. So it's, you know, instead of, I don't know about you guys, I don't know that we're so different one from the other, but we have this tendency to go out and fight the battle on our own. You know, our emotions and what's going on inside always rises up instead of us waiting and getting the blueprint from the Lord, the strategy from the kingdom of heaven that will take Goliath down. Just like that one smooth stone that knocked Goliath and David went and cut his head off. I mean, how great is that? So that is why hell actually hates listening to us praise, because Judah is linked with justice and law-giving. And if God calls you to go to bat, say, for example, for the unborn, he's actually activating Judah, the Judah ministry and anointing in you. So that's verse 8 through 12 in that same chapter. So Zebulun is an is habitation, or to dwell with. God has endowed me with a good gift. Jacob's prophecy linked Zebulun with business, with merchants, and with understanding the treasures of the sea. He brings what needs to be brought from the shore, and Zebulun's tribe members are needed because they know how to bring in the trades. So here God has equipped his people to actually know how to orchestrate with strategic business so that there is trades and there is riches and there is prosperity because of this. It's from the tribe of Zebulun. I don't know about you. I see people who actually have an entrepreneurial spirit on them, and they're so, it's like, wow, I am absolutely just marvel at what comes from them. And you just know that this is a God gift. It's attached to the tribe of Zebulun. Issachar, wages, that's what his name means, or a strong donkey. Issachar could bear much, a servant lying down between two burdens. He was serving the burdens. Issachar was filled with insight from the tribe, from the time Jacob prophesied over him. Those are verses 15 and 16. I want to speak about Issachar. I know that Issachar is a name that is, it comes up quite a bit because we've had prophetic words in City Gate about the spirit of Issachar being on us as a people. And so we would know the times and seasons. And when I first heard that, I know that God gives us revelation into things that are going on. And he gives us insight into, you know, months and years even ahead of time to know what to do with this. But when I realized that Issachar was born in a particular month, and if we know the times and the seasons of what we're supposed to pray during that particular month, according to the full moon, Then the revelation and strategies that are actually over Issachar pour in more of that whole insight of the time. So it's like, wow, this is bigger than what we had understood. And so I've only scratched the surface, and I'm just beginning to learn all this stuff. But I, you know, made a commitment to the Lord that I would spend each one of those months. I've always been drawn to the full moon, not because I'm a werewolf or but I've just always been drawn to the full moon. And, you know, I'm up in the middle of the night, and I'm sitting in the spare bedroom looking out the window in this majestic full moon with this marvelous hue around it is just so breathtaking. And I am always called into a spirit of intercession. I didn't understand why. And here, our Hebraic roots are already pulling us into walking out what he intended for us to walk out. Now we do it purposefully because we understand this is attached to times and seasons. And for each one of those months, he intends us to pray very strategically and very specifically something that will actually release the kingdom of heaven into the earth realm. Dan means judge. Dan will provide justice for his people. Dan is also linked with the serpent. You will either be like the serpent, or you will learn to keep your heel on the serpent. You can only go one way or the other. We were made to redeem this characteristic. We must allow God's redeeming sword to come in and separate the soul and the spirit within us so that we always have our heel on the serpent, and not the serpent is usurping and overpowering us. So you see how there is a characteristic, there's a redemptive characteristic. There is a blessing that Jacob spoke over each one of his sons, but there is also a curse over those sons that walked in sin and did not repent from the sin. So we now, because we've been grafted into that vine, can take this blessing. We can identify what that particular curse was. So, you know, for example, with Dan, and we can come before the throne of God and repent on behalf of our ancestors so we can take the land and we can occupy it and we can have the full blessing that God intended so that thing is no longer operating in our lives. So the only way we can be who God made us to be is to let God make us into who he intended us to be. Otherwise, we will fall over into what Chuck Pierce calls the unredeemed realm. If you don't come into the prophetic redemptive destiny, you will create an unredeemed destiny in the earth realm. And we see that with Isaac and Ishmael. We can see, you know, Moses prophesied and blessed, or sorry, not Moses, Abraham prophesied and blessed both of his sons. And yet one son was so angry by the loss of his inheritance as the firstborn that he went off and he created an unredeemed realm in the earth zone. And we even see the evidence of what's going on right now in this earth because of what happened with the two sons. So if you don't come into that prophetic redemptive destiny, that unredeemed destiny will begin to build, and it will gain momentum, and it will be a lot more difficult to bring it to a halt. So we need to always make sure that we're submitting to that, to the redeemed realm of God, because there's no middle ground. We can't just go one way or the other. We must find what is the path that God intends for us to follow. So the name Gad means how fortunate. A raiding troop shall raid him, but he shall raid at their heels and assault them victoriously. So this tribe's redemptive characteristic is that of a warrior. So I don't know about you, but I know a lot of warriors in our fellowship here. I see the spirit of a warrior. I see that spirit, especially on those who God has called to intercession. I see that raising up inside of them. And I can see the battle of the Lord coming out and putting the enemy to flight. If you do not redeem this characteristic and do not raid the enemy's camp, you will become one who is raided. You want to be the one who plunders the enemy, not the one who gets plundered. And that's verse 19. The thing that came to mind with the redemptive characteristic of raiding the enemy was Matthew 11:12. The Bible says that the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. And there is a very good demonstration of the positive use of that skill that Gad had. Asher means happy. One whose food will be rich. He will provide delicacies for the king. Asher is that portion of the redemptive group that is a provider. We see this all around us. We see people who actually are the providers. We see the ones who rise up and they know that that is their calling, you know, in what God has put together in all of these 12 tribes in the body of Christ. Naphtali is a doe let loose, and Naphtali is also a communicator. This one I found very fascinating because I'm a communicator. But the way that we communicate, or the way we tangle up in communication, is grafted into this tribe. So there are people who have actually, they're fully skilled with communication, but we can actually use our communication for evil. We can use our communication to try to tangle people into an unredeemed realm. So we need to commit our communication to the Lord. We need to know when to speak and when to be silent. We need to know the times and seasons again of when to release a particular word, because it's all about the anointing of the Lord that carries the communication that breaks the yoke off of people. Proverbs 8:21, there's life and death in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit, comes to mind as well. Joseph, a fruitful bough, faithful and fruitful, may he add. Joseph was born of Jacob's desire for Rachel, the love of his life. A fruitful vine near a spring, whose branches climb over the wall. Now, when you think of that, I don't know about you, this never came to mind. Joseph's ministry is outside the walls of a church. And we see that operating in our midst. Whose branches climb over the wall. Benjamin, the son of my right hand, or the son of my strength. Benjamin is a ravenous wolf. In the morning he shall devour the prey, and at night he shall divide the spoil. So he actually goes out. He's another that was meant to carry out and help with the provision for God's people. The one thing that I found really fascinating as Benjamin as well is, even though he was a warrior, he was a real he was a fighting man, God actually chose to keep Benjamin back so that he could train the next generation. Isn't that amazing? Just so that our next generation were equipped, because it's not by metamorphosis, it's by actual training of those who have gone before, who have the skill, that we are to train the next generation. So in all of this, those are the 12 tribes of Israel. In all of these things, a name was given, and that is for identity, but it's also for function. And both characteristics are required. So you are called what you are called for a reason, and there's always a redemptive purpose in your name. If we allow the Lord to do what he wants to do in us, we will see that redemptive purpose. I don't know about you. When I was a kid, I didn't like my name. I remember saying to my dad, "Why did you call me Kelly? Oh my goodness, there's 7 Kellys in my class, for goodness sake." And I did not like my name. When I got to, you know, really get into the things of God, somebody came up to me and said, "Kelly, what a great name." And I'm like, yeah, you know, I'm just putting on this face, right? Like totally not believing it. "Do you know what your name means?" I said, "Well, no, I've never really thought about it." "Well, your name means warrior." And I'm like, "Oh." And my second name is Jane, which means crown. And I'm like, wow, you know. And so it was like God literally took my bad attitude and he redeemed my understanding of my name so that now I embrace my name. I'm like, okay, God, I'm all about this. And I think that, you know, when I look at my history in my relationship with the Lord, when I finally got on path with him, I am a warrior. I do fight for the kingdom. You know, I'll fight the battle. I'll fight for the underdog and all the rest of it. And so it's like, I'm all over that. So look up your name if you don't know the meaning of your name and ask the Lord to show you how does that fit into the redemptive process of the characteristics of who you are. So with that redemptive purpose, if we allow the Lord to do the work that he wants, God's intervention sets our bloodline in order. We've been grafted into the bloodline of Christ, and it forms our identity. Our identity actually is transformed by the renewing of our mind, and it's transformed by what God does in and through us. 1 Peter 2, 9 and 10 says, "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people of his own, so that you may announce the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were no people, but now you are God's people. You had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. So as a royal priesthood and a holy nation, we represent the king and are clothed in garments of that priesthood. So that ephod, that breastplate of righteousness that was worn by the priests when they entered into the Holy of Holies, is actually a part of our full armor. And each one of those characteristics, those redemptive characteristics of the 12 tribes of Israel, is ours for the taking. But we must claim them. So as we come before the Lord in repentance, asking him to redeem the portion of our characteristics that has a fallen nature that is under a curse, he is faithful to redeem that particular part of us. I know every one of you has a testimony that that is the truth. So no longer does a priest go into the Holy of Holies to make intercession, but we have been granted access through the blood of Jesus and our acceptance of his sacrifice. Now we come boldly to the throne and we take the identification and the function of the blessing of Jacob and apply them in our own personal lives. But if we do not come into a redemptive prophetic destiny, we will create that unredeemed destiny in the earth realm. So there's no middle ground, and we will go one way or another, as I said before. The 12 blessings of Jacob are our inheritance. But just as we saw in the 12 sons, we must recognize the required redemptive process and enter into it, thereby making us legitimate sons and daughters. When we do this, we cut off any tendency of creating unredeemed destiny in the earth realm, which is what it's all about. So the focus of the breastplate of righteousness, as I said when I first started this morning, Ephesians 6, 13 through 18, let's read that. "Therefore put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, stand firm with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayer and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people." Now, I've only highlighted the breastplate of righteousness with the 12 tribes of Israel this morning, but just by tying the blessings of Jacob into the breastplate of righteousness in Ephesians, we can quickly see that God intends to equip us to come boldly before the throne of grace. There's where our boldness comes. If I go back over every single one of those 12 sons, and I saw the blessing of Jacob over their life. I claim it for myself. How much boldness will I come before the throne of God with? I won't wonder if he's going to meet my needs. I'm not going to hesitate with any apprehension or insecurity of whether he wants to meet my needs. But as I draw close to him, and as I continue to search him out from month to month with the things that he has instituted that we should pray for, our confidence grows like crazy. So we come boldly before the throne of God. As I started reading this book again, this is maybe, about a month and a half that I started into this book again. And I started praying the things that are over each month. All of a sudden, I saw a change in my prayer, in my devotion time in the morning. I previously was reading my Bible, you know, chapter to chapter from Genesis to Revelation. And, you know, if something kind of struck me, I'd go into a topical study in some respects. But for the most part, I was really locked into studying the Bible chapter by chapter till I got right to Revelation and start again. One morning I was sitting at the table getting ready for work, and I always have my 1 hour before I leave for work, and that's my devotion time with the Lord. And I heard the Lord say to me, "It's okay. You don't have to read chapter by chapter. It's okay for you to read this book. There's scripture strewn through the whole book. It's not like I am abandoning my commitment and dedication to, you know, studying the word and reading it day and afternoon and evening." But as I did this and I started understanding how this Hebraic history, those ancient roots, fit into what God wants to do with us, all of a sudden I started having these prophetic declarations coming out of my mouth. You know, the month of December is actually praying for your leader, so you've been really blessed this month by. Like, it's crazy the stuff that the Lord has been revealing to me. I had another book that I had recommended to the church fellowship, and many of you bought the book about prophetic declarations, and I forget the actual name of it. But there's in the back of the book, there's 9 prophetic breakthrough. There's 90 days of declarations in there. And I thought, well, until I really feel like I've got declarations coming out of my own mouth, I'm walking through that book. There was a thought for the day, and it's kind of like God's talking to you. Then there was a prayer. Then there was kind of a repentance piece. And then there was, you know, probably 15 declarations. And every single morning with my outside voice, I would declare and decree what was for that particular day, until I started on this. Now all of a sudden, out of the abundance of what I'm studying, the Lord is pouring declarations out of my mouth, because I see the purpose based on the times and seasons that we're in. So the one thing that I feel like the Lord wants to do with us is to take this small little piece of the breastplate of righteousness. I mean, there's a whole lot more. We've got a full armor of God. If I study, you know, the helmet of salvation, I'd probably come away with another. I mean, this would take me a whole year to get through. But it's like, if we take this one piece of the breastplate of righteousness and we apply it to our lives, if we meditate on each one of the blessings that Jacob gave, each one of his psalms, each one of his sons in Genesis 49, what will God pour out into each one of us? So this morning, if you are willing, I would love to pray over you that the Lord would release this in each and every one of us. You know, he's the one, he'll bring it to your memory. You can pull out your Bible, look at this again, ask the Lord to show you, because he will give you a very specific thing that you need to pray for your family. It may show up and manifest in different ways, obviously, one from the other. And it's based on the tribe that you're actually aligned with as well. You'll be stirred by one thing more than you were stirred by another thing. But if we just commit this to the Lord, what is he going to do in 2020 for us? The one thing that Chuck Pierce, he's always, you know, he's always talking about the Hebraic calendar and the year 5779, 5778, whatever. And I used to follow that. And then I kind of got off on something else. But the year that we're walking into, which actually began in September, not in January, in the Hebraic calendar, is all about the mouth. We need to make sure that our mouth is speaking what God wants us to speak, because of the fact we know there's life and death in the power of the tongue. And those who speak eat of it, right? We're going to eat our words if we're not careful with what we speak. So the Lord has been really, I feel like he is pulling my belt tighter. You know, he's kind of fastening me into, it's almost like, you know, fasten your seatbelt, you're in for the ride of your life. I feel like there is a real necessity to sharpen, to hone in, to just really, you know, be locked into what the Spirit of God is doing, to discipline ourselves so that we're not so loose with our words, that we're not so easily offended, that we're not so easy to just spout off of things that God is not telling us to spout off about. You know, the abundance of the Spirit of the Lord sometimes bubbles up inside of us, and he'll give us words to speak. But if he's not, we need to be silent. And so that's where I feel we are this morning. And I just feel like for 2020, if we take hold of this, God is always faithful to bring us into the new year. And he will bless our commitment to what he wants to do in and through us based on living lives of righteousness, so that we truly are prophetic stones of righteousness, the planting of the Lord. Let's pray. Lord, I just want to thank you. I am so delighted by your revelation, by your kindness. You pour out your Spirit on your people, O Lord. And I just pray this morning that your Holy Spirit would have quickened and moved as never before, Lord, on specific people in a specific way, each one in this room, Lord, that you would cause us to come and drink deeply. I pray, Lord, that this would stir a hunger and thirst so that we would go back to our ancient paths and that we would see what it is that we've left behind that we have not brought into our own celebrations that you have ordained from the foundation of the earth. And I pray for each one in this room, Lord, that as you move by your Spirit, you would quicken us to know what we need to repent for, what we need to commit to you, and how we can execute the skill of each one of the blessings that have been instituted for us as the people of God that came from the tribes of Israel. Lord, I just bless each one in this place. Lord, I thank you for this fellowship. I thank you for what you're doing in City Gate Church. And I pray, God, that as we take our first step into 2020, that you would be ahead and behind us. You would be above and beneath us. That we would be so locked into you. And that we would not move to the left or to the right. That we would not be put off by things, Lord, that we've been put off by before. But Lord, we would allow you to build greater measures of redemptive character, greater measures of maturity into your body. And I pray this all in Jesus' name. And I ask, would you seal this morning, Lord? Hallelujah.